Hello again. We'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Paul Allison. Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Grab your Bibles and turn with me over to the book of Hebrews and chapter 2. And the title of this week's message is, He Knows How It Feels. Hebrews in chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succour them that are tempted. Now, this book of Hebrews, really, it's just wonderful in how it brings into perspective how we're under the new covenant. We're not under the law anymore, we're under grace. It's a new covenant. A New Testament, the words testament and covenant, they are interchangeable. And it's talking here about, you know, here that how Satan, you know, really just dogged us, so to speak, with that fear of death. Because the wages of sin is death. That's what brought death into this world, when Satan tricked Adam and Eve into being disobedient, and that sin ushered in the end of man's immortality, and it made them mortal and subject to a physical death. At that very moment, they lost their immortality and started marching toward a physical death. And so, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So what one man, Adam, messed up, one man fixed up, that's Jesus. And He came and suffered for us and to die for our sins. Now, the Scripture said He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So Him being Emmanuel, God with us, of course, He was above the angels. And even the angels are immortal and can't suffer death. How could He die for our sins? He had to be made lower than the angels. As you can see, if you'll read this chapter, I'll kind of give some homework for you. Just read this chapter in its entirety. And come in the form of a man, so that it would be possible for Him to suffer a physical death. The body that He was wrapped up in would suffer a physical death. And so He knows what it's like. He knows how it feels to go through the things that we go through. I like to say it like this. He's a shepherd that knows what it's like to be a sheep. Because there's not ever been a shepherd out there that could identify with a sheep. He knows what it's like. Those shepherds everywhere, wherever they're at today, keeping flocks, all they know is the human experience. They don't know what it's like to be a little four-legged lamb, to graze on the grass, to live the life of a sheep. They don't know what it's like. Well, see, a lot of people, they think, nobody knows what I've went through. Jesus does. He is the Lamb of God. But He is also the Good Shepherd. He's the Great Shepherd of the sheep. And so He came and He lived in mortal flesh, and He went through everything that we go through. He knows what it's like to be hungry. I mean hungry to the extreme. He knows what it's like to be on the brink of starvation, because He went out in the wilderness and was tempted of the devil as He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, do you think about that? I'd say every day, you know, it just got magnified, that hunger. It set in on Him after 40 days of fasting. I've never fasted that long. I know a one-day fast can be a chore. Those of you that know me personally know my occupation. I drive a snack truck. I deliver snacks and sell snacks out on to these stores out on a route. and a one-day fast with handling food every day, all day long. You know, it's a challenge for me, but a one-day fast is a drop in a bucket. Just a drop in the bucket compared to Jesus fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And you think about this, he had power. When Satan tried to tempt him to turn that stone into bread, he had power to do that. But he refused. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All he used to overcome temptation was the scriptures. That set an example for us that we could do the very same thing. And that, by the way, would have been lust of the flesh. All that's in the world are quoted, lust of flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. That's the only 3 points of sin. Satan went on and tempted him with the lust of the eye when he offered him all the kingdoms of the world. He again overcame. He said, if you'll worship me, you can have everything, the whole world. Deed title to the globe. But no, Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So the temptation of lust of the eye, he overcame it with the scriptures. So then Satan did something you need to be very aware of. He misused scripture with the next temptation. And he challenged Jesus on pride of life, challenged his very identity as the Son of God. He said, if you're the Son of God, after he set him on the pinnacle of the temple, he said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it is written, here's Satan quoting scripture. Satan knows the word. He knows what the Bible says and he knows how to misuse it. So does a lot of his servants, because Satan's taught them dirty tricks. That's why we got to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Satan misquoted the scripture out of Psalms, or misapplied it rather. He said, for it is written, he hath given his angels charge over thee. They lift thee up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. But Jesus, rightly dividing the word of God, seeing how he is the living word of God, he said, but it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So, he overcame all these temptations. He knows what it's like to be tempted to the maximum. He knows what it's like to suffer in the flesh. Like I say, he was hungry. On the cross, he experienced extreme thirst. He had lost a lot of blood. No doubt he was severely dehydrated. He had been up all night. He hadn't had a drink of water. He was thirsty. And he said, I thirst. He knows what it's like to be extremely thirsty. He knows what it's like to be tired, physically tired and exhausted. He was so tired and sleepy that he was sleeping when the ship he was in was bounced about with the storm and the waves. And they woke him up and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He said, oh, ye of little faith. And he didn't have to strain to calm the storm. It obeyed his simple words, peace be still. 3 little words calmed the raging sea. He said, oh, ye of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? But look what they did. They falsely accused him. Jesus knows what it's like to be falsely accused. And it's bound to have been hurtful to him. When they said, basically accused him of not caring. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Master, you don't care about us. That's basically what they were saying. You just don't care. He does care. He does. So he knows what it's like to be misunderstood and to be bad-mouthed and to be falsely accused. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. Judas betrayed him. He knows what it's like to be forsaken. All the apostles forsook him that night in the garden. He knows what it's like to be lied on. He knows what it's like to be lied to and to be lied about. They said he had a devil. They said, you know, that he was going to do a lot of different things. Just the false witness one after another that night, falsely accusing him. Oh, he said this, he did that. He has a devil. He's got Beelzebub. Cast out devils by the prince of the devils. All sorts of bad mouthing, false accusing. And then he knows what it's like to be tortured. After they falsely convicted him. You think about that. There's people in jail now, you know, that some every now and then they'll do a little DNA test and find somebody was innocent after years of incarceration. They'll let them out. Hey, Jesus knows what it's like to be falsely accused, falsely convicted. He knows what it's like. But then they started torturing him. They spit in his face. They smacked him with their hands. They made fun of him. He knows what it's like to be made fun of. Even when they turned him over to the Romans, they beat him some more. They striped his back. They scourged him. That was a severe beating. That movie come out, Passion of the Christ, to try to get in perspective and show people how severe a scourging was. Ripping chunks of flesh. It wasn't just like, you know, a few little red stripes across his back. It shredded his back. And then they put a purple robe on him. They plaited a crown of thorns and they pressed it down upon his head. I'd say most of you, sometimes it got tangled up with a briar, a thorn, or a thistle. And you've had your flesh scratched and poked and pricked with those type of things. And it's uncomfortable. Imagine someone plaiting a crown of thorns and pressing it down upon your head. Just so they could make fun of you and say, that's his crown. King needs a crown. Well, let's see. They put a purple robe on him and bowed down mockingly. Oh, hail, King of the Jews. Making fun of him. And guess what? He knows what it's like to be executed. He went to the cross. And it wasn't quick. It wasn't like nowadays. Just recently they had a guy shot with a firing squad, the first one in about 14 years. Pretty quick death. They have lethal injection, electrocution, gas chamber, hangings. All those are pretty quick. Beheadings, whatever. You know, they do that overseas in some of these places. All of it's pretty quick. Crucifixion wasn't a quick execution. It was a long, torturous death. Jesus hang on the cross for 6 hours before he yielded up the ghost. You imagine. Now, some of you maybe stepped on a nail somewhere along the way. I've not, but I can imagine. You know, I've been poked with sharp objects before. But you can imagine. Most of you probably never had a nail pierced completely through your foot, much less both of them. And then imagine your hands too. And being suspended up by your hands and feet by nails, hanging on an old rugged cross, and you had to press upon those feet with that nail in it to get a little relief off your arm, the weight hanging on your arm, just so you could draw the next breath and breathe. Crucifixion was probably the worst form of execution ever used by man. A long, torturous, grueling death. Cruel as cruel could be. He knows what pain is like. Some of you out there maybe got a lot of physical ailments. People's going through lots of terrible things, whether it's crippling arthritic pain or maybe your body's reeked with some form of cancer or maybe you're one of these people that have migraines and there's just all sorts of different ailments. The back problems, I know people that's had just severe back problems and multiple surgeries and never no relief and constant pain. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer physical pain to the extreme. He knows what it's like to suffer emotional pain to the extreme. All the things he went through, the betrayal, the denial. Peter denied knowing him 3 times. He knows what it's like to be lied on and lied about and lied to. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He looked out over Jerusalem weeping. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he said. How oft would I gather you together as a hen would gather her brood under her wings. And you would not. He knew what it was like. Everything, he knew what it was like to the extreme. The hunger, the thirst, the exhaustion, the mental emotions. He knew what every bit of it was like to have a broken heart, to Even he knew what anger was like. The Scripture tells us to be angry and sin not. Whenever they defiled the house of God by going in there and maybe just basically rather making it like a flea market, trading, buying, selling them doves and exchanging money, he planted a whip and run them out of there. He said, my Father's house will be called a house of prayer. He said, but you've made it a den of thieves. He knows what it's like. Whatever emotion you felt, whatever physical discomfort or pain you felt, Jesus knows what it's like. He's a shepherd that knows what it's like to be a sheep. He's God that knows what it's like to be a man and to suffer all these temptations, all these trials and afflictions. He knows all about it. He can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Just like it says here, we'll start back in verse 16. Here in Hebrews 2, it said, For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like, be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor. Succor means to comfort. He can relate with it and he can give us comfort to succor them that are tempted. He knows what it's like, folks. You're out there suffering. You're going through hard times. Hey, he knows what it's like to be poor. He had to send Peter down to get money out of the fish's mouth to pay their taxes. He told one feller, he said, the birds of the air have nests. The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. He said, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He basically knew what it's like to be homeless. He knew what it's like to fall on hard times. But a lot of people out there, they think, oh, nobody knows what I'm going through. There's a lot of things you're probably going through right now I can't relate to. I can't tell you I know how you feel, but I know God knows how you feel. One of the worst things I could think about a parent ever going through is to lose a child. Well, God the Father can relate to that because He had His Son Jesus to suffer and die for our sins. He knows what it's like. He can relate. He knows how you feel. And you know, so many people, they won't come to the Lord. They won't trust Him. But there's not a good reason for not doing that. He knows how you feel. You know, a lot of you, maybe you had your spouse cheat on you. You've been totally, totally betrayed in that manner. Well, look, Jesus, been the Son of God and having the children of Israel to turn to idolatry and commit spiritual whoredom, spiritual fornication, spiritual infidelity. The Lord knows what it's like to be betrayed in that manner. He knows what it's like for someone to be unfaithful to Him. You know what? As a young woman, one time I was a witnessing to her, and she had went through a divorce. Her spouse, he had been unfaithful to her and broken those wedding vows. And she felt betrayed and was very hurt, and rightfully so. But see, she told me she wasn't in church. She used to be, but she'd got out of church and she wasn't living right. I said, you know how bad your ex-husband made you feel? I said, you're doing the same thing to the Lord. You're making the Lord feel. And you're doing the same thing to Him that your ex did to you. You're being unfaithful. Maybe some of you parents out there, you've had your kids to go bad. You've raised them right. You did everything for them. And you're hurting because your children have chose the world. And they've turned. And they've not did the things that they know they should do. Guess what? God knows how you feel. Because look at Adam and Eve. The Lord had everything just perfect for them. A lot of people get mad at God. They'll say, why would a loving God create a world with all this death and pain and sorrow and suffering? That ain't the world He created. The world He handed Adam and Eve had no death, had no pain, had no sorrow, had no suffering, had no sin, had no sinners. It was perfect. They was not satisfied with perfection, so therefore the only alternative to perfection is imperfection. And they ushered sin into this world by choice. So God, and you can't, listen, you can't accuse God of being a bad parent. God knows what it's like to have kids go bad. A lot of you out there, you may be in that same situation. You've had kids go bad. And the devil's beating you up over that, making you feel like you're a total failure. And in some cases, that might be the case. You may have not took the time to raise your children right. But for those of you who have, and you've tried to be faithful to the Lord, and you've raised your children right, but they ain't living right, I'm here to tell you, God knows how you feel. He knows what it's like to have kids go bad. And it ain't always the parents' fault. Oftentimes it is, but not always. And if you've done right by the Lord and your kids has went bad, I want you to know God knows how you feel. Jesus is a shepherd that knows what it's like to be a sheep. You know what? Something will help me be a better parent. I've tried to keep this in mind. My kids are practically grown. But something will help somebody be a better parent is to remember what it's like to be a kid. It'll help you do two things. It'll accomplish two things kind of on either end of the spectrum. First of all, it'll help you not be so impatient and to expect more out of a kid than they're capable of. It'll help you to be more patient. Say, hey, especially with little kids, you can't expect them to have the comprehension level of an adult. You got to remember what it's like to be a little kid, and it'll help you be more patient. But also, if you remember what it's like to be a kid, you'll be less likely to have your kids pull stuff over on you. You'll say, hey, boy, you'll say, hey, I used to try to pull that stuff myself. And you'll have your guard up and you'll be more alert. So, to be a better parent, remember what it's like to be a kid. Maybe you're a doctor. It'll do you well to remember what it's like to be a patient. If you're a teacher, it'd do you well to remember what it's like to be a student. Because, you know, you can when you start relating like that, it helps you to slow down and do your job better. Whether you're a parent or a doctor or a teacher or whatever, remember what it's like as a parent to be a child. As a doctor, remember what it's like to be a patient. As a teacher, remember what it's like to be a student. It'll help you do your job better. Well, guess what? Jesus is a shepherd that knows what it's like to be a sheep. He knows how it feels to go through all the emotions of life, all the trials and afflictions, all the suffering of life. He knows how it feels. And guess what? He knows what death is like. He tasted death for all of us. He knows what it's like to suffer a physical death. And it was scary to him. You can read on over here in the book of Hebrews and you see that he feared. He had that dread on him that night. He prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nonetheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was dreading that beating. He was dreading that execution. But he loved us enough to go through it anyhow. He knew what was coming. He knew how miserable it would be. He knows what it's like to face death. And that's why he came and faced it and conquered it for us. To deliver us from that. And destroy the works of the devil, like he said here. Destroy that power. Old Satan had the power to destroy the devil. And give us the victory. Maybe you've not got that victory and you've still got that fear of death hovering over you. He's conquered it. There's no need to be fearing death. He can deliver you from that fear right now. If you'll just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Ask Him to save you and forgive you, and He will. He'll gladly do it because He's the Savior. You don't have to talk the Lord into saving you. He wants to. It ain't how fancy you pray it. It's how sincere you pray it. He'll save you. And maybe you're out there today, even as a believer, and you're suffering and you're going through trials and afflictions. He knows how you feel. He's a shepherd that knows what it's like to be a sheep. He can relate to us. So talk it over with Him. Call on Him. Depend on Him. Trust in Him. He'll help you today. And until next time, be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.